Today I'm speaking to Owen Connors and Alia Winter about the exhibition for The Feral Splendor, which is down at the Physics Room in Otatahi Christchurch, and it's a three-person exhibition. It's got work by Owen, Alia Winter, and Laura Duffy. So Laura wasn't able to speak to me this week, but I did manage to have a catch-up with Owen and Alia about the exhibition, about how it came together, and about the work in it. So just from the introductory kind of text for The Feral Splendor, in this exhibition, works by Owen Connors, Laura Duffy, and Alia Winter engage with ideas about that which is natural, unnatural, supernatural, and the transformative potential of queer narratives that connect these things. The project is informed by thinking about mysticism, healing, and stories which are at once fear-inducing and liberating. So I'm going to let Owen and Alia introduce their own practices in the interview. So let's jump into it now. Here we go. Would the two of you like to begin by introducing your respective practices?
I'm Alia Winter, I'm an artist. I guess I'm mostly known for working in video, but I've also worked a lot in like performance, and I studied photography and I use that a lot. Yeah, and I guess I often work with like historical material as a starting point. I tend to have like a fairly research heavy practice. And I really like having kind of historical material to do with sort of queer histories, or kind of challenging notions of history in a lot of ways as well. Yeah, that's kind of my practice in a nutshell.
Hi, I'm Owen Connors. I am an artist. I've kind of worked quite diversely as well in like textiles and drawing, but lately I just work in egg tempera with some like woodworking stuff on the side. I don't know about general themes. I guess like histories and narrative pertaining to like queer experience would be a good summary.
Both your works have this kind of mysticism or historical kind of nods toward mysticism that seems to me like maybe a interesting crossover. What led to the exhibition? What sort of thematic interests between the two of you and also Laura Duffy?
The exhibition sort of came about via Abby asking for a show, and then we kind of banded together to put it together. I think maybe it's been quite easy and chill because of that thread, that like magic thread, I guess, that passes through everything. Maybe Alia can speak more to that because I think it's more present in your work in this show.
It felt very organic the way that it came through, I guess, and like we were talking a lot about the poet C.A. Conrad and their kind of process for writing poems, which involves doing these rituals and then as a response like frantically writing poetry. And I, from my personal perspective, the things that I was looking at and what I wanted to make work about just seemed to kind of align as well, and I was really interested in the relationship between, particularly in trans history, the relationship of like a lot of historical figures from 70s kind of gay lib to magic and madness and kind of, I don't know, esoteric thought and practice, which is very present. And in particular, it was this person, Abram J. Lewis, who has like written a whole thesis about it, which is pretty amazing. Yeah, and I feel like just in our conversations, we were all kind of interested in this idea of like magic or kind of, I don't know, intent. We talked a lot about religion as well, and kind of colonial histories in relation to religion, Pākehā histories. So that was like very conscious in our minds, I think, when we were all making our work.
And your work, Alia, is, it's these banners which kind of stretch right from the top of the gallery down to the floor and then spread along it. And they have these kind of elements hovering in a black void that sort of made me think about, you know, the alignment of the planets, or the beginning of, you know, 2001: A Space Odyssey, And then, Owen, you've got this sun perched at the top of one of your two paintings. And I was thinking, like, do you think the kind of cosmic theme is a maybe secular reaction or kind of response to that colonial religion? Because I feel like there's something quite religious but not too specific in that.
I don't know. My source imagery was sort of, for that sun, was sort of like a hippie Pākehā, like esoteric buzz. I don't know if it's as sincere as that. It's kind of like, I don't know, we were talking heaps about C.A. Conrad having these like rituals to produce poetry, which kind of on the surface level are sincere attempts to like grapple the world, but they're also done with like a lot of irreverence. So it's like using these tools but not treating them as sacred, maybe, if that makes sense.
There's like quite a lot of play, I feel like, in all of our works. Like, we kind of utilize those ideas of something that's very, or could be seen as very sacred, or, you know, this idea of the holy or magic, but in a very, I don't know, playful way, like maybe a tongue-in-cheek way, but not completely. I feel like there's kind of a tension there as well.
Do you think there's also, you know, because there are quite strong queer themes in all three of your practices, is there kind of a historical precedent of that idea of the profane as being something that queer artists have historically played with quite a bit? I'm thinking, you know, obviously like one of the tentpole figures in that regard would be Warhol, kind of his, you know, dalliances with the sacred and the profane.
Yeah, I think so. In like a humorous way, not in like a shock value way.
I mean, there's something very playful about the profane, right? Like it's kind of like the circus.
Yeah, or it's like high camp as well. Maybe it would be a good word, I don't know.
One thing that interested me about your choice of C.A. Conrad as the source of the exhibition's title was that their framing of their work often emphasizes the performative nature of poetry as a very, you know, transformative experience. And all three of you have time-based practices, in the sense that, Owen, you have done a lot of performance poetry, and Aaliyah, you and Laura are both widely exhibited video artists. Interesting that three time-based artists would do an exhibition of static sculpture together. Was, in the early stages, was it always conceived of as a static exhibition?
I think it was, right?
Yeah, well, I think there was, like, initially we kind of were, I always knew that I wanted to do these big banners. It was just, that was kind of it for me, what I knew I wanted to do. And I think we kind of talked about introducing maybe some audio elements, or at least Laura and I have been kind of talking about that. And that's a way that we've worked a lot in the past, I guess, sort of like collaborating on video audio. But then I think we sort of decided that the work could really just speak for itself, and it would be quite fun to do. I feel like maybe it would have been like expected to add something in like that, something time-based in that way.
I think time's still like present there though, but like in the C.A. Conrad ones, it's like the time is present more in the like process. So as we talked about, like them, all their poems being like ritual based, there's this like recorded presence of its making in the work, which I think all of us sort of have. Like I harp on about how long things take and like the process of layers and painting. Laura's is quite like, I guess, in like an eclectic material gathering that's really present and obvious in the work. And maybe that's present for you as well, Aaliyah, in like sourcing stuff, imagery and stuff.
Definitely. Well, like most of the references I kind of wanted to refer to in the work that I made are like quite old, from like, you know, like the 1500s, 1600s and earlier. So I kind of feel like, yeah, I was also working with time, and the way that I work a lot is to sort of, I mean, this was a work that I've wanted to make for like a really long time, but just haven't done it. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's been waiting for an opportunity to bring it out.
So that was Owen Connors and Alia Winter talking about their exhibition down at the Physics Room. And I've got some more of that conversation coming up after a quick break. This is What a World by Best Bets. You listen to Art Bank on 95 BFM. That was Waterworld by Best Bets, and I'm going to jump back into my conversation with Owen Connors and Alia Winter, discussing For the Feral Splendor, their exhibition with Laura Duffy at the Physics Room down in Christchurch. And there's also a strong element of self-portraiture in the two of you's works in particular. There is, you know, a version of each of these works, of your painting of multiple kind of cumulative selves, Owen, and then your banner of portraits of your own kind of face and hands, Alia. There is a version that wouldn't involve the self. Like, you know, you can kind of, if you didn't necessarily know that these were portraits of the artist, you could still form a reading of each work. Why did self-portraiture become a kind of tool for both of you?
I don't know. I feel like sometimes it's part of my instinct when I'm making, I guess, like kind of like thinking in a performance way, that I'm kind of thinking about using my body already. And that's the way I've worked with video a lot in the past. It's frequently involved self-portraiture or myself, my body. But in that, I'm also interested in trying to get beyond, like, it's not just like a picture of myself or a performance about myself. It's frequently about other things. And I guess I'm interested in, I don't know, maybe it kind of ties into C.A. Conrad as well, sort of like using your own body to get somewhere else or to kind of like communicate something larger. But I'm also aware of like the kind of, there are certain implications of using my own body, which I'm also interested in. We were talking a lot about personal narratives for this exhibition, I guess, so it sort of made sense. And even for Laura's work, I feel like there's a lot of Laura in there. There's like their own spit in some of the work, and it's obviously all made by Laura's hands, and often it's like, I feel like Laura's very spontaneous as well, but yeah, I don't know, I feel like in a way it is a self-portrait too, or, you know, involves some element of that.
My use of self came from like practicality, and I guess like adherence to narrative. The big portrait's like a family tall tale, so I just chose to like use myself for, I guess, family resemblance. But then repeating the self, I guess, was me having fun and kind of poking fun at the like kind of ideas of like narcissism and therapeutic approaches to like queerness, and by positioning myself within those narratives and kind of upending them. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It feels like playfulness is like a big theme in the exhibition, like this idea of getting to do something and let the audience decide how serious you are, right?
Yeah.
And self-portraiture, I mean, you know, not that it kind of is necessarily connected, but I always think, you know, when it comes to Pride Month, there are more self-portraiture exhibitions in the country than any other time of the year. Like every, you know, kind of participating gallery has a portraiture exhibition. And I feel like there is a kind of degree to which that maybe becomes a cliche of queer associated art.
Yeah, or identity associated art as well.
Do you think the fact that the three of you are friends, and this is, you know, in the exhibition material and the supporting text, do you think that social element of the exhibition comes through?
I think so. I think maybe in that playfulness, like we had a lot of fun making it and installing it, and we were constantly talking to each other about our own work and kind of helping each other develop and grow ideas. And I think that all sort of shows in the ability for us to all kind of sit alongside each other despite having kind of very different aesthetics.
Yeah, I agree, and I feel like, I don't know, when I think about it, I think the playfulness is a reflection of like our comfort with each other and our like personal relationships with each other, and it feels like really, it was just really easy to do that. And I feel like if we maybe weren't friends or were in a different position, we would have made quite different work, I think, and it would have sat alongside each other quite differently. Yeah.
I think from the outside, there's something quite encouraging about the sense that that you're three artists choosing to exhibit together. And there's something I quite like about the idea of artists having agency over the context they're put in, because so often it does feel like, you know, at these institutions, exhibitions are put together by curators or directors, and artists maybe have to be grateful that they make it in, so they don't get a say about whose work theirs is in conversation with.
Yeah, hara. And I think that's very much down to Abby at the physics room, who gave us like a lot of autonomy and encouragement to like develop the show, which was nice. A true pleasure.
Truly, such a pleasure.
You know, the two of you have both exhibited fairly widely, you know, at various institutions of, you know, relative grandeur. Is exhibiting somewhere like the physics room, does it feel substantial? I mean, not that, maybe that came out wrong. I think of the physics room as one of those kind of, you know, quite meaty spaces, and that it's kind of, you know, it has this long history, and it feels like it's really exhibition making for an informed art audience. And both of you, to my knowledge, have probably been exhibiting for about a decade at this point. Do you feel like you've kind of maybe worked your way up to getting to have this level of autonomy over an exhibition?
I think maybe it's the way that Physics Room operates as well. Like, it's not a... its director is still its curator, right? And it's not like a meaty, hearty institution like a AAG or... Christchurch Art Gallery, where the artist is kind of more a commodity or a sign that curator can put in places. So I think that autonomy we had is like because of the space and its history and its position and like an ecology of the art world here.
Yeah,
totally. If that answers, what do you think, Elia?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really feel like I've worked towards it or something, but I agree with what you're saying. It's like because of the physics room and the way that it is and its history and the way that it is organized just like allowed for us to do what we did in the way that we did it.
I think we've also all like had practices that have shown in like artist run places and kind of have had to do our own installs and like do our own write-ups and press releases for shows. So it was pretty easy to kind of continue that within an institutional framework.
Both of you have drawn back to the work of C.A. Conrad throughout the conversation. Could you expand on the title for The Feral Splendor?
I don't know how to.
So it's the title of a C.A. Conrad poem. What's the poem about?
That's also a line from it, and I think we took quite, like, liberally. So it's as a source, but it's we've kind of made it our own and used the, like, logics of that line to correspond to the show, I guess. We felt it had that, like, kind of, attention to, like, the profane and perversion, as well as, like, joy and like invocation that really screamed us.
Yeah, totally. I think the full name is For the Feral Splendor That Remains, right? Or the full title. But I don't think we were ever thinking about, I mean, we were kind of looking at a lot of C.A. Conrad poems to kind of find a title. But yeah, really we just, like Owen said, we just used the kind of logic of the internal logic of that line just seemed to align so well with the show, and I don't know, it just felt really good. We were like, yeah, that's the one, I reckon.
I think in taking from CA as well, we're not referencing an individual poem. We're, like, referencing, like, their practice, their way of working, and their, like, kind of position as, like, a queer elder and a, like, creative force.
Yeah.
I think with your work, Alia, the banner kind of made me think of Kenneth Anger films. And I feel like For the Feral Splendor is so kind of in that it feels like it could be the title of a Kenneth Anger film.
Kenneth Anger is The Devils, right?
No, that's Ken Russell.
Ken Russell.
Kenneth Anger is... Oh, I'm
Scorpio Rising.
Scorpio Rising, yes.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. That I totally wasn't a reference for me. But that's... Yeah, now that you're talking about it, I'm like, I can see that. Yeah.
That, like, rainbow leather jacket vibe.
So that was Owen Connors and Alia Winter talking about their exhibition For the Feral Splendor with Laura Duffy down at the Physics Room in Christchurch. And that's open until the 6th of March, so if you are heading down that way, check it out. You can also see some images on the Physics Room's Instagram page, and it looks like a really lovely installation, you know. We didn't really talk about Laura Duffy's work because they weren't available on Thursday morning when we recorded the interview, but they've got these really beautiful kind of twisted little sculptures scattered around the exhibition space. You get this really wonderful quality where the sculpture kind of fills in, you know, the ground space. Owen's paintings are on the wall, and then Alia's banners connect down from the ceiling to the floor. So you get this really nice kind of full three-dimensionality to the exhibition. We're going to jump into a couple more tracks now before hearing my conversation with Nayan Patel about the new exhibition space Freedom on Upper Queen Street. This is Wordy Rapping Hood by Chicks on Speed, and after that we've got some Reptalians. 95 BFM.